You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. As well, there are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, who are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume Number 27, by Dr. Rudolf Steiner and Dr. Ita Wegman, entitled Extending Practical Medicine, formerly known as Fundamentals of Therapy, translated by Anna Moyse. This is Chapter 17, entitled Perceiving the Nature of Substances as a Basis of Pharmacognosy. Anyone wishing to assess medicinal actions has to have an eye for the actions of forces that develop in the human organism when a substance, which has specific actions outside the human organism, is in some way or other introduced into it. A classical example is given in the case of formic acid. It is a corrosive substance developed in the ant's body, which causes inflammation. There it presents as a product that has been separated off. The animal organism in question has to produce this if it is to perform its functions in the right way. Life lies in separating off activity. Once the separated off material has been produced, it has no further function in the organism. It has to be eliminated. The nature of the organism lies in what it does, not in its substances. The organization is not a complex of physical matter, but an activity. Matter holds the stimulus for action within it. Once it has lost this stimulus, it has no further significance for the organization. The human organism also produces formic acid. There it has its significance. It serves the eye organization. Through the astral body, parts of organic substance that go in the direction of becoming lifeless are separated out. The eye organization needs this transition of organic substance to the lifeless state. But it is the process of transition it needs, not the product of the transition. Once matter going in the direction of becoming lifeless has been created, it is a burden inside the organism. It either has to be separated off as it is, or dissolved, and thus removed indirectly. If the dissolution of something that should be dissolved fails to happen, the material accumulates in the organism where it may form the basis for gouty or rheumatic conditions. This is where the formic acid produced in the human organism comes into play as a solvent. If it is produced in adequate amounts, the organism will remove products going in the direction of lifelessness in the right way. If the power to produce it is reduced, gouty or rheumatic conditions develop. By introducing it into the organism from outside, we support the organism, giving it what it is unable to produce itself. We can get to know such modes of action if we compare one substance with another, to see how it continues the action in the human organism. Take oxalic acid. Under certain conditions, this converts to formic acid. The actions of the latter are a metamorphosis of oxalic acid. Oxalic acid is a secretion in the plant sphere, formic acid in the animal sphere. In the plant organism, oxalic acid develops an activity analogous to the production of formic acid in the animal. This means that oxalic acid production relates to the sphere of the etheric, formic acid production to the sphere of the astral. Diseases coming to expression in gouty and rheumatic conditions originate in inadequate astral body activity. Other conditions present in such a way that the causes, which in the case of gout and rheumatic conditions originate in the astral body, have been put back into the etheric organism. Then we have not only stasis of forces going in the astral direction, which presents an obstacle to the eye organization, but also obstructive effects in the etheric that the astral organization is unable to overcome. These take the form of sluggish activity in the abdomen, inhibition of hepatic and splenic functions, stone-like deposits in the gallbladder, and the like. If oxalic acid is given in such cases, we are suitably supporting the activities of the etheric organism. Oxalic acid effects a strengthening of the etheric body, because the power of the eye organization is transformed into a power of the astral body by the acid, and the latter then has a stronger effect on the ether body. Basing ourselves on observations of this kind, we can get to know the action of substances that prove medicinal in the organism. Observation may start with plant life. In the plant, physical activity is permeated with etheric activity. Here we can see what can be achieved by etheric activity. In the animal's astral organism, this activity becomes astral. If it is weak at the etheric level, adding the activity of an introduced plant product will strengthen it. The human organism has the animal principle as its basis. Within certain limits, the same applies to the interaction of human etheric and astral body as in the animal sphere. It will be possible to restore the upset relationship between etheric and astral activity with medicines taken from the plant world. Such medicines will not serve our purpose, however, if some disorder exists in the way the physical, etheric, and astral human organization interacts with the eye organization. The eye organization must direct its activities to processes that go in the direction of becoming mineral. Only mineral principles will therefore prove medicinal for pathological conditions in this area. To get to know the medicinal actions of a mineral principle, we have to investigate a substance to see how it can be degraded. In the organism, mineral substance introduced from outside has to be degraded and recreated in a new form using our inherent organic forces. The medicinal action must consist in such degradation and recreation. The result of this must go in the direction that inadequate activity of the organism is taken over by the activity of the medicines which have been given. Take excessive menstruation, for example. Here the power of the eye organization has been weakened. It is one-sidedly utilized to generate blood. Too little remains of it for the blood absorptive power in the organism. The route which should be taken by forces going in the direction of the lifeless in the organism is too short, because these forces are too vehement. They become exhausted halfway along the road. We come to their aid if we introduce some kind of calcium compound into the organism. This takes an active part in hemopoiesis. The eye activity is relieved of this sphere and can turn to blood absorption. The end of chapter 17.